Dear Lord, we're thankful we can be here this morning to worship you, and we pray for your blessing on us, and pray that you would be with us throughout this Sabbath day. We ask these things in your name, amen.
Our scripture reading, James chapter 4. So we take our Bibles, we open up to the book of James. Peter, James, and John, one of the apostles. And we're going to read from 10, 11, and 12. And as I read this, it brought up on my own heart that if I have judged anyone or saying to anyone, I want God to forgive me because I don't want to be a judge. Verse 10 begins, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Number 11. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Number 12. "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" May God add a blessing to his word.
Morning. Well, the clock just struck 12, so we're almost ready for our, get ready, Clark, we're getting ready for our closing hymn here. Name of my talk this morning with you is tolerance. And I had different ways that I might have extended that, but the truth is maybe it's better not to know sometimes. This sermon is especially for Dawn, Aunt Jim, Barb, Will Comley, Yvonne, Dean, yeah, it's especially for all of us, including me. We have a tendency to decide that those things we're especially good at, we like to see if someone else matches up to those things. Usually those people who like to arm wrestle and always want to go ahead and do it with everybody are those that are pretty sure they can win. Those are the ones who bring that up. And let's play this game, or let's do this. It's always fun to bring up things we're pretty good at. Those things that maybe we aren't so good at sometimes, we like to avoid being around when they're done. We're a little bit like that spiritually. You know, if I'm especially good at kind of holding out and doing the health principles, you know, that I want to make sure that everybody else eats pecan meal and olive pits and whatever, ground cashews and stuff. I want to make sure that those are the things, you know, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be first in line for heaven if I'm really good at these things. And over here you have somebody really good at somebody else, something else, and they tend to want to hold everybody else to this standard of what they feel are the things that are really important. There's a few things they aren't good at too, but we'll work on those some other time. Sometimes that's why there gets to be factions, both within a church and within the larger church, you know, there are groups that want to make sure that this particular thing really happens. And make sure that, because, you know, we're kind of ahead of most of you other folks. You see, I can say these things because I'm nobody. I'm not a preacher. So I can freely say these things because I can't think of anything in particular that I'm great at. So therefore, I'm kind of over here in the group that gets left behind sometimes. And the truth is, we need to find out what God wants us to do. I don't really need to find out what God wants Clark to do. And I don't need to find out what God wants my wife to do. I've tried to tell her a couple of times, but be honest with you. I need to find out what God wants me to do. I need to get clear on it. I need to get in the Word. However, we need to have tolerance of each other, but not necessarily tolerance of sin. There's a difference. There's a middle of the road, that there's a moderation that God wants to see in us. God wants to see us be understanding of our fellow man. What's in the mind of man continually? Evil. Is that just those folks who don't happen to be here today? Or does that include the people that are right here? I can think of situations, especially when I was a young person. You know, when you're a young person, maybe a teenager, you're examining adults on a regular basis, and you're finding things about them, and finding out that they aren't always what they say they are, or that they want you to be. And you examine that. And I remember someone who had a situation in church, and they were married, but they had a girlfriend. And I remember adults talking about that, and there was a lot of head wagging, and I can't believe that he, and there was a lot to be said about it. Now, we know what the Bible says clearly. Don't need to be talking about that at all. Someone maybe could go talk with them about it. That'd be the first step. But we all don't need to be visiting about it, as near as I can tell. But you know, it's a funny thing. The same people were talking about that, especially this one man who's especially critical. His brother got in the same exact situation, and you know, for some reason there was a lot of excuses why that was justified. His wife was ugly to him. His wife was, there was a whole lot of, a long, long list of reasons why he was kind of justified in doing this. And as a teenager, you kind of look at this situation and you kind of say, well, so, depending on the circumstances, this is worse if it's for you. It's Gabe, it's terrible for you. But over here, if it's kind of my family or whatever, somebody who's really close to me, these things happen and we're pretty tolerant about it, if for those who we want to be tolerant of. We're pretty pretty reluctant to say sin is sin over here, but over here, boy, we're right on the bandwagon. Yeah, he shouldn't. Somewhere there's a road to be traveled that is need to be careful that we have the actions we should have. We don't have the tongues that we should have, that we do have. Need to be tolerant of each other, praying for one another, faithful to one another, intolerant of sin where it needs to be called. There's a time and a place for reproval and rebuke. Certainly someone who is in any kind of leadership position and is way out of line, something needs to be said about it. But that doesn't mean the whole church needs to do the saying. There's a way, there's a time, and there's a place. I'd like to read just a couple verses to you. This is also in James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Will Comley can't stand around and have a whole lot to say about a lot of things. Perhaps the leadership at times needs to be rebuked, and they need to stand up and take it. But at the same time, we need to be merciful. By the way, that little in there, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Anybody venture a guess as to what easy to be entreated might mean? Easy to be entreated. Yeah, you certainly would allow. Easy to be entreated. Oh, thank you. Perfect. That is an excellent interpretation of that. Easy to be entreated. Not to be offended. You're right, I was late. I'll have to try to be more careful with that. And don't be offended. Don't hold things against each other. We have a tendency to hold others to a high standard. I'd like to read you just a couple things. This is taken from the fifth testimony. It says, With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Remember that your brethren are fallible creatures like yourself, and regard their mistakes and errors with the same mercy and forbearance. Give me addition. We don't use the word. Give me a definition of forbearance, because we don't use that word much today. Forbearance. Oh, wonderful. Willing to see that others have faults too. Pray for them. Not hold their hand right to the grindstone and make sure that they're fitting us. Regard their mistakes and errors with the same mercy and forbearance that you wish them to exercise toward you. They should not be watched and their defects paraded to the front for the world to exult over. You know, that kind of language I can completely understand. Defects paraded to the front. Sometimes with our own children, we're extra hard on, you know, we see something they need to straighten out, boy, we need to get it straightened out. And every time, and I can be guilty of this as anybody, every time it comes up, the thumb goes right down, you know, I'm going to straighten that out, get it now, you know. Well, perhaps getting it straightened out is a good idea. However, coming down with the big hammer isn't necessary every time, or embarrassing someone, or whatever, you name it. Entreaty would be better, to entreat someone would be far better than to hold the hammer down sometimes. Hold the hammer down on yourself if you need to. Maybe a little less on others. I wanted to balance what I've had to say to do with our tolerance for others with a statement here in Acts of the Apostles. And it says, to hate and reprove sin and at the same time show pity and tenderness for the sinner is a difficult attainment. The more earnest our own efforts to attain to holiness of heart and life, the more acute will be our perception of sin and the more decided our disapproval of deviation from what is right. We must guard against undue severity with the wrongdoer. We must also be careful not to lose sight of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Somewhere there is a middle of the road, there's a balance. I know folks who think they should go to bed at 9:30 every night. That's fine. That's a good thing. But if someone is visiting and is in need of your company and stuff, and it gets to be 9:30, you don't chew them out the door. You're going to follow the health principles at the neglect of, you know, someone else's comfort and friendship. I mean, that would be ridiculous. And that's the kind of thing we sometimes do, though, to just make sure. It goes on, it says, there is need of Christ-like patience and love for the erring one, but there is also a danger of showing great toleration for error. And that person may look upon himself as undeserving of reproof and will reject it as uncalled for and unjust. Ministers of the gospel sometimes do great harm by allowing their forbearance to generate into toleration of sin. The point I'm making here is that we need to make sure that God is speaking to us and that we have the beam out of our own eye before I worry about some of the things in others. We need to have the measuring stick out that has 64ths on it when it comes to us. When it comes to somebody else, just a yardstick with the big numbers are okay. You know, we don't need to be so specific with others as we are with our own selves. It mentioned just a minute ago, love for the erring, patience with the erring, understanding. Pray that I will have more patience and understanding, and that each one of you will too as well, so that people will want to join our ranks, join those people who are truly wanting to emulate Christ to the world. We're not trying to familiarize the people out there with a new set of rules they're unfamiliar with. We're trying to familiarize the people out there with the character of Christ. And I pray that we'll do that more fully. Lord, we ask you to watch over us as we go out from this church service. Help us to truly be able to cut others some slack and at the same time live the exemplary life that you'd have us to live. Have mercy on us, Lord, and help us to have mercy on others. We pray this in your name, amen.